have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Michelle Y. Wright on Elation Radio. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to listen to us on today. I am so excited about the goodness of the Lord. I don't know about you, but we've made it through another week that the Lord has blessed us with, and we always want to give him a great hallelujah for the things he has done. He's great. He's mighty. He's majestic. And he loves you and me. I'm so grateful that you're here on today. Listen, if this is your first time listening in, we welcome you. We thank you for your time, for your ability to be with us. We don't take it for granted, and we're grateful that the Lord touched your heart to join us on today. We want to send a big hallelujah high out to every listener listening in, to our wonderful and God-given producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and to all of our Elation family. I want to say we love you, we love you, we love you on today. And to our husband, Pastor Donald Wright Jr., thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do with us and to be of support of this podcast. We love you all, and I want you to know we're grateful. We have an awesome, awesome guest on today, a dear sister in the Lord, one who is a fire starter, governed by the God that we serve, none other than our sister, Apostle Crystal Crawford. I want you all to prepare your hearts and minds for today's podcast. We are going to share with you, for those who have never listened in, what the Just For You podcast is all about. And then we're going to pray and be given our exhortation and our interview. Amen. Following that, the Just For You podcast is designed to encourage, empower, and engage listeners to thrive spiritually and naturally, utilizing biblical principles. Just For You will reveal truth embedded in the Holy Bible to illustrate kingdom living, soul winning, compassion, and strategies to serve mankind, making a difference locally and globally. Just For You will allow listeners to hear teachings that are applicable, guests that will inspire, and opportunities for serving more effectively in the home, church, school, community, and marketplace. That is what Just For You is all about. I thank you again for listening in. Listen, we are going to pray that the Lord will come in and have his divine will and way. We're excited about the word on today, and we want you to be excited too. Will you pray with us? Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we hallow your name. We give you all the honor, the praise. You alone are good. You are our God, and besides you, there is no other. We thank you for this podcast today on Elation Radio. Bless our visionary God, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, our Elation family, our special guest today, Apostle Crystal Crawford, as well as every listener listening in, whether it be live or on the replay. Father, someone has a need on today. Would you meet that need? Someone else is crying out for peace. We ask that you be the peacemaker and give them peace. Lord, someone else may be crying out for answers to know if you are real. We're asking, God, if you will touch on today. And Father, would you guide this word, guide this podcast to do exactly what you want it to do. And we thank you in advance. We are also praying, God, that somebody may be listening in. Maybe they've had a rough time. Maybe they've walked away from you. Maybe some just said, I need you in my life. Father, whatever the case may be, meet the needs of your people on today. We glorify you and we thank you. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and we forgive others that we may be forgiven in the mighty name of Jesus, and give hearts to forgive on today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we will thank you forevermore in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, listen, we're excited that you are here with us. Thank you for praying with us. As we say every week, please, please grab your Bible, your tablet, your phone, whatever you use to study. We're going to have a short exhortation as we do every week. I want you to be assured in the Word of God that the Word of God is true, and it applies to each and every one of us. If you are not a believer on today, we pray that God will touch your heart and that you will hear what it is that God needs to say to you on today. Well, we're going to begin our exhortation. We're going to be studying from Acts, the 9th chapter. Today's topic is, can you see? I'm going to repeat it again. Can you see? You know, when we think about seeing, we think about sight, we think about all of these things that we see on a day-to-day basis. But the question is, spiritually, can you see? What does that entail? How does it affect your life? Why is it that God wants you to see spiritually and not just physically? We're going to talk about it in a moment. Would you grab your Bibles? We're going to be reading from Acts 9. The first verse we'll begin with. This is the New International Version. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, hallelujah, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Listen, let's stop right there. Here you find a man who was after the children of God, the people of God, who was on assignment to destroy them. He looked for those that were in the way. What does that mean? Those that were saved, that named the name of Christ, that believed on our Lord, that believed there is a God, and that they were willing to live and to die for him. I want to stop right there. As a believer, when you come into the body of Christ, we don't just give the preacher our hand. We make a clear, informed decision to follow God, and not only follow him, but live under the precepts and the gospel and the scriptures we are taught. Why? Because those scriptures give us life. So here you have a group of individuals who said they are going to do the will and the work of the Lord. Do you ever find yourself doing the will and the work of the Lord? And there appears a Saul. There appears somebody somebody to hinder your walk with God just because you want to fulfill his mission. Well, let us keep reading because this story is very powerful and impactful. So he goes on to say, as he neared, I go back to three, Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? Lord, Saul asked, but isn't that something even in the midst? He called him Lord. I am Jesus who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Do you know there are times God will speak to you and nobody will know what is going on? It is a language that comes in the believer's heart to know without a shadow of a doubt that they hear his voice and another they will not follow. So listen, they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat nor drink anything. He was on a fast. Listen, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. He immediately, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying in a vision. He has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Let me stop right there. Listen. It's a powerful thing when God has your journey. He knew the life of Saul. He's given him an opportunity to understand his power and authority, not because he did everything wrong, but because he brought him to an intimate place to know him for God. He wanted him to know his majestic power. He wanted him to understand not only is he God, but he wanted him to understand he knew his name. Aren't you glad today that the Lord God knows your name? He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're facing. He knows how to intervene on your behalf. So here we find Saul, who was obedient to get up and go into the city as he was told. Whenever you follow the directions and the instructions of the Lord, there is a blessing for your obedience. Not only did he go there, God began to deal with him. I hope I'm helping somebody on today, that there are times where God will come into your dreams. He will allow you to see things that are ahead. He wants you to be aware of what is taking place in your spiritual environment, not just your natural environment. So he's teaching Saul how to be attentive to his voice, how to be attentive to his ways. And here we find he sees this man called Ananias coming for him to lay hands on him to restore his sight. Listen, whenever God assigns you to a thing, it is not your place to change the directions. He was very clear with Ananias. Ananias had the choice to say, you know what, I think I'm going to go over here, get me a Coke, and then I'll come on over there to see about Saul. He could have said, I'm going to choose to do that, but you know what, I've got this going on over here. But I'm so glad that this story is relevant because Ananias followed the directions of the Lord. Let me say it again. He followed the instructions, not putting anything extra in it, not taking anything from it. He followed exactly what the Lord told him. And because he did, he told him to go. He told him what he would find. Hallelujah. And the Lord began to deal with Saul. Lord 13, Ananias answered, I heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done, my God, to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered in. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see my God again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. The Bible records and goes on to say, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. What are we saying simply here today? There are going to be times when people, this is why we have to be careful looking at who we think is going into the kingdom. You don't know what the plans of the Lord are. Here was a man who once persecuted the Christians, that he would make his name great in the community he lived in, that the people that all knew all about his past would begin to see him operate in those things God called him to be. I don't know where you are in your life today. I just know that I'm so grateful that God had enough wisdom and power and authority to teach us through his word that he's no respecter of persons, that he loves you, he loves me, he loves the homeless, he loves the person that has our half, he loves the drug dealer, he loves everybody. But we have to make a clear and conscious decision to choose him. And then there are times like Saul where he was bent on doing what he was doing. But yet God had a plan. It's important to note that he was blind. It's important to note that he did things his own way. It's important to note that the orders he received had no power. I need somebody to understand there are some attacks against the people of God that have no authority and have no power. And Ananias came along to lay hands on Brother Saul to remind him that he was different, that God had a plan. Aren't you glad he took the time in your life, somewhere down the road, to send an Ananias to you, that you could see, my God, today, open your eyes and see who God really was. You could have been in the church all your life. You could have been serving in some capacity, but still never saw. Again, I say you still never saw. But praise God for the Ananias of our lives, the one who pours into us and helps us to see, be it your pastor, be it a parent, be it someone in your community, be it someone that's assigned to help you see. The question I ask today is, can you see? And when I'm asking you, can you see, I'm not asking you, do you see something or someone? Can you see in the spirit? Right now in this earth, there is so much going on, but the Lord has already given us wisdom on what to do in these situations. In the city of St. Louis, Missouri, there have been vast floods all across this region, and God himself is reminding the people not only of the floods, but reminding them of his power. It may appear that people have lost everything. I need to ask today, can you see what really is going on? Can you see there is a heavenly Father that cares about each and every one of us in the midst of pain, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of loss, in the midst of death, in the midst of whatever the enemy wants us to believe is working against us? Be reminded that Romans 8:28 applies to every situation for the believer. It says, and we know, hallelujah, and we know all, not some of the things, not half of the things, not a fourth of what we know, all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. What is his purpose for you? What has he called you to do? What is he looking for you to see in this hour? Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for those around you? Are you looking out for your neighbors? Are you making sure you're adhering to what your leaders are telling you? Are you seeing what's going on in this hour? Are you taking an active role as Saul was Saul when he began? But God changed his name to Paul. Why? Because there was a newness about him. I want to say to the person that feels that your past will never leave you, that you'll never get an opportunity to get away from what people know about you, I'm here to decree and declare, when you come into the life of God, that all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But you got to believe it. You have to receive it, and then God will bring it to pass. So in closing, I want to ask a question. Can you see? Do you really see the things that God is doing in this hour for the body of Christ? Let me clarify. I did not say the church. I said the body of Christ. The kingdom operates differently than the church. Our local assemblies have what they do. God has what's a mandate for life, no matter what country you're in. It's not bound by a physical building. We are lovers of God, lovers of his word. We follow the word that we may be in tune with him so that we can see. I'm going to say it again. We're in tune with him so we can see. I pray that you've heard what the Lord wanted to say to you on today. When I say keep your eyes open, and to do just what the Word of God says, to watch and to pray, please take heed. Do not feel that it is okay to just be the same as we've always been. We must be geared up more. We must be willing to go further. We must understand our sight is going to lead us to the victories that we need. But you have to be connected to Him. So if you don't know Him, this is a perfect time to draw closer to the Lord, to know who He is, to know what His Word says, and to fully commit to Him. When you come to Him, it is a process, but He'll give you wisdom to carry on. I thank you for listening to this week's exhortation, Can You See? Because your sight is going to be needed in the days ahead. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you for studying and going along with us in the Word on a journey that we all can relate to, that His hands have touched us. He's sent someone to help us, which is a great segue into our guest. We have an apostle on the line who does not care to go by titles, but the work. She is an anointed woman of God, loving mother, loving wife, an author, an entrepreneur, a woman with a power and a mission to serve in these last days. I'd like to introduce to some and present to others none other than Crystal Crawford, who's going to share her life and her projects with us and what God is doing. And we thank her for being with us today. God bless you today, Crystal Crawford.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you, Pastors Don and Michelle Wright and Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Thank you so much, and to everyone who's listening, just for carving out some time in your day to make some time for Jesus. So thanks so much for just being on. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well, listen, I'm so excited about you. I've watched you, and I know the power of God that resides in you. I would like for you to share with the listening audience. We know you have Fourth Watch, which comes on early morning. You're on television. You have projects. Talk to us about your walk with the Lord. How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, thank you so much for asking. You know, it's a long story, but the short version is I grew up in church, but I didn't know Jesus. I grew up in church, and I never heard about Jesus. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I grew up Episcopalian. I went to Catholic school for a time. And, you know, my mother, she's saved, amen, now, amen. We all saved now, but, you know, I grew up Episcopalian, and I knew religion. I never heard about the blood of Jesus. I never heard about the Holy Spirit. I don't remember hearing about Jesus. And I went to church on Sundays. I knew the order of mm-hmm. service. I knew the Nicene Creed. I knew when to genuflect and to take the water and put it on my forehead and make the sign of the cross when I came in the church. I knew the rosary by heart. I knew what to do with the stations of the cross. I knew religion. But I did not know anything about Jesus. And so my walk came from being introduced to, I understood darkness very well. And I didn't hear about Jesus from people in the church. And I don't say this to, you know, I'm being very careful because the Lord is, he's mm-hmm. zealous for his bride. But I have to say this, I didn't hear about Jesus from believers. When I came to Christ, I heard about Jesus from a witch. And it was a witch that came to me. I was working in the Hustler Club. And if you know anything about that, I had no business being in there. I was working as a waitress. And a witch looked at me and she said, "The Lord is knocking on the chambers of your heart." And I didn't know what she was talking about. She was talking about Jesus. And she had a very concerned look on her face. And one of the things that I realized is that those, when I look back, hindsight is 20/20. When I look back over my life, those, I mean, and these were priestesses. These were warlocks, priestesses. I mean, people, they're real practitioners. And at the end of the day, and I'm not giving them an, putting them on a pedestal, but they always warned me. It was weird how it always happened that they would do the things that they did to me and around me, but they always told me, "You need to start forgiving people. You need to do this, and the Lord is calling you." And it was just the craziest thing. And so I came to know Jesus because I got tired of being controlled by another human being. The book Onyx spends a considerable amount of time talking about the bondage that I was in concerning a warlock that I refer to as Cassidy. And this warlock ran my life for a couple of years. And in the midst of my life being ran by a warlock, and this is hoodoo, I talk about my involvement with telepathy. There's been telekinesis, understanding astral projection, dream walking, you name it. I've seen it, been a part of it. It's crazy. But I came to know Jesus because I got tired of my life being ran by another human being. Just real quick, I'll tell you what that looked like. Every single thing that I did, whatever I said, whatever I did, I was actually under the power of a very powerful warlock who could come out of his body and make things happen. Not only, and when I talk about that, I'm talking about astral projection. And so my life was being controlled when I wasn't saved, of course, you know, causing me to do things that I didn't want to do. Thoughts would be impressed into my head. I would oftentimes hear voices because of the familiar spirit that I had picked up. And I was just surrounded by people who operated in the dark arts, you know. And so I finally got tired of somebody else running my life, knowing every single thing that I did, whatever I said, just causing all kinds of sickness. I dealt with supernatural sickness. I would go to the doctor, and whatever was happening with me, the doctors, I remember I was telling my husband the other night, they would just be completely silent. They had nothing to say. People would see me, and they would just be in awe of how bad I looked. Because when you're dealing with supernatural sickness, and I don't mean to be gross or anything like that, but there was a time period in my life where I could not consume any food. I could not consume food, and I could not drink even a sip of water. And there would be profuse vomiting. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Exorcist. But that stuff is real. And that was my reality for a period of time. I don't even – it's only by the grace of God that I'm still alive. And this went on for a very, very long time. Supernaturally, I was sick. And I remember – the warlock talking to me and telling me that, well, it's almost over, but he had a smirk on his face indicating that he had something to do with this. And so, you know, without giving away too much of the book, you know, I dealt with supernatural sickness. I never heard about Jesus until, you know, a witch came and told me about Jesus. And so this book spends a considerable amount of time talking about the different things that I have dealt with, rituals that have been done to me, things I've seen, the reality of real darkness, spells, casting spells. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you have to tell people what these things look like in order for them to understand the realities of it. It's not so that you can go and do it, but it's so that you understand it. So you really have to, one of my colleagues said today, this book's going to be kind of like Pigs in a Parlor. You really have to be led to read it because it's not a book for everybody to just read for enjoyment. This is a book, it's got prayers in it that will break yokes. It's a call for renunciation of things. It's got a, my life is about 10% of the book. The majority of the book teaches on the occult and why these things are not okay and how deadly they really are. So I don't want to digress, but I want you to go ahead and ask your questions, but I'm so full right now because I just got done dealing with something within the past 48 hours along the same line. So this stuff is real. Even as an individual who is saved, I still deal with witchcraft and the effects of witchcraft.
I thank you for sharing that because to the believer, they have to understand there's something that is outside of what we are taught as far as the Word of God. When we're dealing with people, it's very important for us to understand they are spirits. There are spirits in people, and we have to understand that their place in our life has been either assigned by God or by the devil, and this is how we know when things are not right in our spirit. That is something giving you an indication of danger, of something that makes you uncomfortable. But I also want to ask you this: in all that you've been through, you've talked about the things that you've lived through. Tell us how not only did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but the work that God has called you to do in the body of Christ. As I said, I know you're doing Fourth Watch. Share with the listening audience what that is, as well as the mission God has you on with the book as well as in life. What is he called you to do?
Well, the Lord has called me in this end time to train and equip believers and also to go back and get the lost. And, you know, one of the things that I understand right now is that, and I was talking to an archbishop last night, and he was talking to me about what I am called to do, and he just reiterated it. It's to teach people to get rid of that dumbness, if we can say that. That a lot of us have been living under. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we need not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. You know, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So the bottom line is, you know, that literally means lest we should be cheated by Satan. And so Satan outwits us by tempting us into despair and recklessness. And a lot of people, you know, that have come across my path, that's what's happening. Either their life is in a state of, they're in a place of recklessness, reckless living, reckless behavior, or, you know, it's just complete despair. And so I came, the ministry was birthed out in the ministry of deliverance. And so after I got saved, that was within a month's time, I was casting out devils. There were a lot of things that I did. The Lord was right there with me, of course, but there was nobody else there. And so the Lord taught me. The Lord taught me about deliverance. I didn't sit in a class. I didn't go to a school. The Lord trained me. He began to show me demons. He showed me imps. I began to see principalities. I began to see the angelic host. And he began to teach me, just like how I was taught about darkness. I was taught about darkness starting at the age of 5. Satan taught me about darkness at the age of 5. I was learning how to manipulate shadows and manipulate darkness. And I was able to do things, very powerful things with my mind as a child. And I shiver to think about it as I even talk about it because, you know, we really have to be careful with what's in our environment and what's released. And so I am called to unveil all of this stuff, to expose this stuff, to teach people. It's not for the shock factor. It is for your life. It is for you to live and not die because a lot of people, and I was even thinking about this before the call, you know, as we are saved and we're going to church and all these things, a lot of stuff that we're doing in the church is very much like what I used to see in the occult. And, you know, I'll just say, for example, even when we talk about, you know, in witchcraft, there's something called intentions, and they're very big on intentions when it comes to spell casting. And so, you know, at the very basic level, an intention, that's a very descriptive statement where you communicate very clearly and specifically what it is that you want from the spell that you're casting, or that's the desired outcome that you want from the magic. And so the Lord began to minister to me, and he said, you must tell them that, you know, a lot of believers are doing this very thing unknowingly. A lot of people, you know, where we believe that we're speaking things into existence and stuff like that, but it's the motive behind what we're doing. Even when we hold up our money in church and we make declarations over our money and just certain things that we may do in our own prayer time, sometimes I hear about believers talking about manifesting things and, you know, manifesting their houses, and all of that stuff is connected to the law of attraction. I'm sure you know that. But a lot of times people are doing these things because they learned it in service. I used to see a lot of stuff in the mega church, and I'm like, wow, you know, this looks just like what we see in spellcasting. And so, you know, you really have to be careful when we talk about our intentions, because manifestations, you know, in the occult, that means you are making something happen. And so, you know, the New Age movement calls for that law of attraction, and it's the belief that positive or negative thoughts bring positive or negative experiences into your life. And sometimes I hear believers talk like this, and it's seasoned with this mindset. And so, you know, when we talk about the law of attraction, that's where you're talking about your thoughts are energy, and energy can attract similar energies to itself because there's an attractive magnetic pattern to the universe. So we have to be very careful of our verbiage. A lot of times when I'm teaching, I'm encouraging people to be mindful of the verbiage that you use, because it's indicative of where you came from. And so now that we are saved, we don't deal with energy. We don't have anything to say about the universe. You know, it's not about auras. And so I'm very, very big on people understanding the dangers of stuff like that. But we're doing this stuff in the church. We're taking our oil, and a lot of times, you know, we have to be careful with what we do with our oil, because what we do with the oil is similar to what I used to see in cursing people, you know, what happens with black salt and what happens with sulfur and making circles around yourself and doing all of these things. And so we have to make sure that we have really been purged, that we have really gone through the process. We've allowed God to deliver us, because, and it's no slight to anyone, but, you know, I had to go through a number of deliverances, and I still go through deliverance even now, because you have to make sure that there is no remnant of that stuff that you used to do in your preaching, in your teaching, in your counsel that you provide to people. Because sometimes we're telling people to do stuff, but it's likened unto what is done in the New Age practices for protection or to bring blessings to our lives. And so a lot of times, you know, I'll see people attach their money to something. Well, that's what witches do. Witches attach things to their intentions. And so what they want to see happen, they go and attach something. It might be money. It might be a name on parchment paper or whatever. But they attach something to the intention. And so we have to be really careful with how we do that, because we can't control anything, as we know. But what I find oftentimes is we're teaching people indirectly that they can control their reality. And so we have people, sometimes they're frustrated because they tithe and they do this and they do that. And they say, well, God, why is this happening to me? I pay my tithes. I go to church. But here's the deal. In his sovereignty, he can do anything. And so we have to just remember that, you know, many are the plans of a man's heart, but he orders our steps. You know, and so I see a lot of stuff that we do in the church, and it I just shiver, because I'm like, wow, this is why when it comes time to pray against witchcraft and sorcery and stuff like that, why a lot of times we are not effective, because that seed is in us, and we don't even realize it. The Bible says a house divided against itself can't stand. And so if the seed of witchcraft or a seed of rebellion or anything of the sort is in us, then, and I just really appreciate what you were talking about when you were teaching on can you see? Because as a believer, you need people around you that can see. You need to be able to see. And I teach people all the time, everyone has the capacity to see. I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't want to see. I don't want to see the things you see. But I will just very quickly tell you this. This is why, this is how God birthed me out. God birthed me out in deliverance. I'm saved because of my involvement in the occult and seeing stuff and what I could do and all the crazy stuff that comes with it. But what I want you to understand is that even if you're saved, you're not exempt from the attacks. And I think one of the biggest lies and one of the biggest forms of deception in the church is that Satan has no power. He has power. He doesn't have all power, but he has power. And people who are operating in witchcraft and sorcery and stuff like that, these things do have an effect. And this is why you have to be able to see. Because the Lord, just within the past 48 hours, I was seeing satanic altars. I was seeing a lot of stuff. And we have since dealt with the situation, but I'm just giving you an overview. But this is why you have to be able to see and also be able to interpret your dreams, because those can also be manipulated. So the book also spends some time talking about the concept of dream walking and my encounters with people who did that, because dreams can be manipulated. So a lot of times, you know, when people have dreams and stuff like that, the bottom line is, we can't take everything for face value. You got to get in the presence of God. You got to know the word to be able to understand whether or not this is what God is saying. Is this from my flesh? Is this from the natural realm that need not be interpreted? Or is this from the pit of hell? And so I do what I do to help people get not only the courage to go forth and do what God called them to do, but to get rid of this dumbness that we're seeing that comes by way of this deaf and dumb spirit. And I'm not saying that to be negative. That's what it is. It's a dumbness. It's a real dumbness, because when I look at my life, I was being used by the warlock to even curse churches, and I had no idea of what I was doing. We would go under cover of darkness, and he would have me to kneel on the steps of churches in St. Louis and curse these churches. He was using me to curse these churches. So I was a vessel for a warlock to curse churches. Come on, somebody. I need you to understand. So a lot of times people who are being used don't even know what they're being used for. And my so God. This is why this revelation of what's happening in plain sight, we can't put our head in the sand. We can't act like it's not happening. We can't say it's not going to happen to me because I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood, and I have people who operate in voodoo and hoodoo and everything else. And the man of God said, he said, I went to Haiti. He said, the Holy Ghost took me to Haiti, and he showed me what was happening over in Haiti. I knew exactly what he was talking about. I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I need you, for those of you who are understanding or who are listening, yes, I'm an apostle. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray and I study every night. I'm doing all of these things. And guess what? I still catch fiery darts. And so if this stuff happens to me, I told my husband, we had someone astral project on us 2 nights ago. Astral project, I felt the presence of a man. It felt like flesh get into the bed and press his body against mine. And when I tell you the amount of pain that I was in was so excruciating, I can't make this stuff up. And so I just give God glory that I'm able to tell you not only what happened when I was in the world, but this stuff can still happen now. And that's why you have to live a holy life. So when I'm teaching, I'm not just telling people things to just say, ooh, look at what I can teach you, because you can get that stuff in a book. What I'm teaching you is how this stuff can be effective if you don't live a holy life. Yes, will it touch your life? Yes, it can touch your life, but it won't run its full course. It will not prosper. The weapon will be formed, but it won't prosper. And I think that's the big picture of what I do and also of what this book means, because we got to get our head out of the sand. This stuff is right here. I heard about Jesus from a witch. We got to take evangelism seriously. We've got to take prophetic ministry seriously. We've got to take our dreams and visions seriously, because right now the reason why a lot of people are going through is because, like you said, we can't see. And as long as you can't see, one of the biggest tricks, even with practitioners, when people operate in spells and they do root work and things like that, one of the things, and the man of God revealed this to me, he said, Apostle, he said, they're trying to keep you, because I went through a period of insomnia. I went through a period where I literally went to a psychiatrist because I thought I was losing my mind. Voodoo will cause you to lose your mind. See, a lot of people, they hear about this stuff, and they don't realize that it actually can harm you. It can happen to you. No one is exempt. And this is, I guess you get my drift. No one is exempt. And this isn't invoke a spirit of fear, but it's to bring awareness of the fact that us preaching about haters and money and cars and taking pictures and photo shoots, can I tell you something? We're doing photo shoots, and all along someone had my picture on a satanic altar in Haiti, and I saw it. I saw it in the spirit twice. two biblical symbolic of the truth, but I was over the altar. Then the night before, I saw another altar, and I saw the people at the altar. And I'm telling you, I've seen real satanic altars in reality, and I've seen them in the spirit. You've got to be able to see why, because you need to get intel from heaven. You need to get even the second heaven revelation so that you know what Satan is doing so that you can pray effectively. So, yes, you have to be able to see. So I'm getting stirred up even now because I'm telling you, within the past 48 hours, I'm still living this stuff. This stuff doesn't go away. So this is why I pray the way that I do. This is why I teach the way that I do. This is why with those that I mentor and train, this is why they may say I'm hard on them, but this is why I'm the way I am because of what I have seen and because of what I have lived through and because of what I've seen in deliverance. I know that this stuff can be really hard, people. That's right. And the head's got to come out of the sand. I'm telling you, I want to jump through the window. I want to jump and run because the Holy Ghost is pulling my hair. Somebody is even listening right now, and the light is coming on in your head. Things that you have come in contact with. Let me tell you this. I'm getting stirred up. Hold on. I got something that I've got to give you because things that are cursed. I'm not going to go into it, but demonic covenants. See, a lot of us right now, and I talk about that, the book is called Onyx, but Onyx is the name that the warlock gave me. You need to understand this. When we look at covenant that we come into with God, when we're in a real covenant with God, what does he do? He changes our name.
Yes, he does.
And so it is with the kingdom of darkness. And so this book is about my covenant with darkness. This book is about that and that only and why that was so devastating. And so when we have demonic covenants now, okay, we're saved now. So what do demonic covenants look like now? Now it looks like a contract. Now it looks like I signed my name on an agreement. Now it looks like I shook hands with this person. Now, see, we got to understand the devil is so subtle in getting us into demonic covenants now that we are saved because the knowledge about how demonic covenants come about has yet to really be taught because people, like a lot of my colleagues who have come from overseas, they will teach you this. They know about this. But we are not really paying close attention, you know? And so demonic covenants, I'm telling you, that's my concern right now, that we're not aware. The man of God told me, he said, you did business with someone over in Haiti. And he said, and you found out the person wasn't clean, and you had to let them go. I said, yes, sir, that's right. And he said, and such and such and such is the case. And I said, my God, today, I got to rewrite stuff. I got to rewrite stuff. But can I tell you something? When a man or woman of God tells you to get rid of accursed things, to rewrite visions, don't play with that stuff. Redo that stuff. When it comes to sickness, supernatural sickness, some people are still sick. You know why? Because they are holding on to accursed things. They won't come out of covenant agreements with people who have them sick and who have them bound. And the thing about it is there's something that you said that really stuck out. But what I will say is this. The people who are causing us problems a lot of times, they don't look like the ones that are causing us problems. There's people behind them that are doing the work. That's why the Bible says, know those who labor among you. You got to check out people's background. What's your family history? How did you get saved? What did you do before Christ? Were you a witch? Were you a warlock? Let me hear you teach. Is your teaching seasoned with New Age practices? Let me see you minister. Are you doing some things that are indicative of strange fire that's on your life? Come on, somebody. So this is why we have to get to a place where we understand connection and the severity of covenant, because connection and covenant go hand in hand. But I'm telling you right now, covenant will cost you. And I'm sitting here right now at 39 years old. I've been preaching almost 17 years, but I'm still having to deal with this. So even though if I'm dealing with this,
come on,
how much more for the people who do not know to know? My God, today. God, today. I just want to jump. I'm sitting in the bed. I just want to double the bed and do a flip. I need you to hear me today. You must take your walk seriously. This is why I walk the way that I walk. This is why I talk the way that I talk. This is why I deal with darkness the way that I deal with it. We can't tiptoe and patty cake and play patty cake with the devil. You've got to call that thing for what it is. And the reason why the situation that I'm talking to you about, you might say, well, how did people in Haiti get a hold of your stuff? Listen, all you need is somebody who does not care for you to mention to the wrong person, and that person will go on and do the work. But the quote-unquote man or woman of God will keep on preaching. You're not hearing me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hearing
mm-hmm.
me, because there's people
mm-hmm.
that will work for other people. And
yep.
that's who you've got to look out for. This stuff is real. Mm-hmm. You've got to look out for the people that you help. My goodness
yes.
today. You've got to look out. Covenant, demonic covenant. And so you got to repent of that. So if the leaders are listening to me, I need you to
mm-hmm.
understand this. We are accountable for entering into demonic covenants. Here's the deal. Even if you did it unknowingly, guess what? You got to repent of it. You got to renounce stuff. You got to change stuff. You got to purge stuff, because you might say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know won't get you anywhere. You can't say I didn't know. Now you know. And so now you know you got to clean this thing up, because when people are defiled and they touch your ministry, now when people
mm-hmm.
see your ministry, they see them in the spirit. They don't see
yes.
you. You can work as hard as you can possibly work, but all they see, until that demonic covenant is broken, all they see is that witch. All they see is
yes.
the sorcerer. All they see is the defilement. They don't see all the work. My God, Jesus, help me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see nothing that you're doing, because the goal is for you to be masked. Oh, my
yep.
God. Oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am.
I need you
yes,
to hear this. Woman of God, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet and let the Lord speak through you, because
mm-hmm.
this here, the awareness is coming to leaders. This is the leaders' night tonight.
Mm-hmm.
To wake up.
Come on.
Wake up. Come on now. Wake up. We're doing all this preaching about we need a breakthrough. Can I tell you something? The breakthrough is coming from the yoke of bondage being broken, but we have to be able to
yes.
see in order to break the yoke. We can tithe.
Yes.
We can show people sowing for their miracle. Can I tell you something? You can sow for your miracle, but guess what? If your money is on a satanic altar, what you sow ain't going to matter.
Come on.
Come on and help me in here. You can take all the photographs. You can do everything in excellence. But I need you to understand, there are priests, high priestesses that are out here, and they have your photo on a satanic altar. You know when I got, you know when this thing got real for me? In the book, let me calm down, because in the book, I just got out of this red water. The warlock was doing a ritual on me, had me engaging in this thing, you know, where you take a spiritual bath and then casting the intentions on the white candle so that we could do some work, cast a love spell and do some work. I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted to get out the water. And all the while, there's breath work that's taking place. You don't know about breath work. See, people doing yoga and all this kind of stuff, that's demonic, because in breath work, they try to get to an altered state of consciousness. And so while I'm sitting in the red water and casting my intentions on the white candle, the warlock is in the other room doing breath work so that he can get to an altered state of consciousness. You're not hearing me. And rocking himself into a state of a trance. So we're doing this stuff. We're doing yoga. We're meditating. We're doing breath work, contemplative prayer, all kinds of foolishness. There's books. There is I'm going to give you the book. I got to do this thing. Spiritually healthy. I'm going to give you the book. What is it called? Something spiritually healthy. And it's all new age stuff. My goodness today. I'm going to look it up. People are doing this stuff. And it's all new age. And they might say, but I'm not casting a spell. But you better understand the root of what it is that you're doing. It's just like having a crack rock or cocaine in your house. Why do you have crack or cocaine if you don't deal with it? And this is what I'm saying. If you don't do witchcraft, why are you meditating in such a way that's indicative of yoga or getting to a higher state of consciousness? If you're not involved in the new age, why are you engaging in declaring that you're going to manifest something. Come on. We got to choose which side of the shofar we're going to be on. And so right now, when I was seeing that satanic altar in the spirit, see, I know an altar when I see one. It was the head of Baphomet, mm-hmm. the white candle, and then there was a broom there. And the Holy Ghost said, go look this up. He said, it's real. And I called the archbishop. I said, this is a real altar. I was over it. He said, that's good. And so the fact that I was over the altar, that really did matter because I was not engaging with it. But here's what I'm getting ready to tell you. In the book, I talk about how God did the great reveal at the altar. I was standing at a satanic pictorial altar looking at pictures of people where spells were being casted on them. And right there at that altar, the Holy Ghost lifted a veil off my eyes, and he said, look at that. Look at this person. He said, they're not who they say that they are. I said, my God. At that given point in time, I was getting initiated into a coven. That is when God took the veil off my eyes. Don't you know Jesus will meet you in the middle of your mess? He took the veil off of my eyes and said, look around. He said, this ain't me. He said, then look at this person. They're not who they say they are. And look at these people. Spells are being cast on them. He said, get out of here or you're going to die. And at that moment, I began to resist the devil. While I was standing fencing a satanic altar after having a ritual done on me and engaging in witchcraft, I got myself together right then and there, and I said, I don't want this no more. I said, this is over. I don't want this. And this is where there's real power in resisting the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so the warlock began to ask me to do all these different things after the great reveal had happened. He didn't know that the reveal had happened, but I'm looking. I said, wait a minute. I see something wrong with this. And so he's constantly asking me to do things, and I'm saying, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And so all the power that I was using in telepathy and all this crazy stuff I was doing, I said, oh, no. I took the mind that God gave me, and I said, I'm standing flat foot on this, and I'm not doing this stuff. I don't want to go nowhere with you. I don't want you to call me. I started blocking phone numbers. I started throwing stuff away. Come on. Some of you that are listening to me right now, you have come into agreement in your past with perversion and witchcraft and sorcery and new age stuff. Get that stuff out your house. Get that stuff out of your life, I'm telling you, because that is you resisting the devil. And as you resist the devil and renounce any affiliation that you've had, I'm telling you, you will get power. You will get revelation. God will restore your sight. And I'm here today to tell you, because I'm alive to tell the story. That thing was set to kill me. What was set out over the past year and a half from Haiti was put in place to kill me. But I need you to understand, this is why we have to live a holy life. Because even when it comes to psychic assassins, if they find sin on you that will give them a legal right to kill you, they can kill you with their mind.
Come on.
I need you to understand that this stuff is, I heard somebody say, this is out there. Yeah, it's out there. It's out there, and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Woman of God.
I have to calm down because, see, I'm off the note.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I praise God for the story. I thank God for you sharing, because so often, again, people don't read. They don't know the word of God. So they operate out of imitation, and they operate in doing things, like you said, in different various ways. There's so many Christians that are burning sage, using crystals. Yeah. Who you serve, you've got to just sow, you know, to the body of Christ. I thank God for my sister on today, who has clearly painted the picture that you can see. You have to make a choice, and you have to make a decision. My sister, tell them how they can get your book, where they can find you, and the things that you're doing. We have a few minutes here before we close out, and I want to make sure they are able, those that would like to get in contact with you, get your book. Would you share that information with us now?
Yes, ma'am. Well, the book is set to come out. It's set to come out this year, but I haven't put the date out because we have to be very careful when we do media stuff.
Yes,
so it's set to come out, but it'll be released on Amazon. I know Amazon for sure. But I do have other publications that are available, The Birthing Room, The First Trimester, and then release date, which is a devotional on forgiveness. And so you can get both of those on Amazon. There's a children's book called When Pigs Fly, which is also a prophetic revelation on the concept of purpose for kids. That's an ebook that's available on Kindle. You can visit my website. If you go to my website, you'll see everything there. It's a one-stop shop, all the ministries that God has given me, ways that you can connect. If you want to be on the podcast, My Apostolic Life, that airs on Spreaker, but you can also subscribe to YouTube. Spreaker is free. All that information about me is right there on my website, www.apostlecrystalcrawford.us, and you'll have access to everything that you need, even info on the prayer group, the television show, which airs on Friday nights at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. Actually, 2:30 Central Standard Time, 3:30 Eastern. And, so there's so much that you can take part in for the Ecclesia of the School of the Prophets. Just visit my website for information on that, or you can just like my Facebook page, and then there's some other pages connected to that as well, and you can get information on me. But I think the easiest thing is to go to my website, ApostleCrystalCrawford.us, and that'll link you to everything, my Facebook, my Instagram, all of that. So thanks so much for having me. I'm stirred up. I'm telling you. I am stirred up.
I am so grateful that you came on. We love you so very, very much. And listen, for the listening audience, please do connect. And Crystal is spelled C-H-R-Y-S-T-A-L, correct? So they will look for you in the right place with the right spelling of your name, Crawford, all right? I want to thank you again, woman of God, for coming on and sharing such wisdom and knowledge with us on today. I honor you because what you say and what we know is it's very, very rare that the body of Christ gets a chance to hear such truth, because like you said, there's so much out there. You know, when I watch on Facebook, I have to come off sometimes. It's just so much that the believers are doing because they don't know any better. And how do we know that? When you know the word of God, just as Saul knew, when he found how he was going to do a work for the enemy and the Lord stopped him dead set in his tracks, just like he stopped you, because he had a plan for your life. I need someone listening to understand, because you are where you are doesn't mean God does not have a plan for your life. When he has a plan for your life, he will allow his presence to intervene. And listen, it's undeniable. So you know Saul knew it, because not only was there blindness, there were instructions. And just as my sister has shared, there were instructions in her life. And therefore, she was able to proceed in the things of God. I pray her testimony has encouraged you, has strengthened you. For those of you that are dealing with, and all of us, like she said, there's a place where the enemy is going to try you as a believer. The difference, too, is, as she said, we must know the word of God. The dumb spirit she's talking about is when you don't get to know him, you're in religion and not in relationship. So therefore, you can't identify what it is that is around you, so you connect up with these spirits. Listen, many of you know me. I refuse to sell my soul to Satan. I will not allow him. With all the things that are going on out here, all this stuff you're seeing, everybody coming up, we're shining, and you better listen for what the enemy is doing in the land and know the difference between covenant and a curse. You better know not to be on display and being used in this matter, that he can, as my sister say, use you as a target and take you out. So be very careful. There's nothing wrong with success. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. There is something, as my sister made you know, and these are things we should pay attention. What are your motives? So until we get to the foundation of that with our faith, we're walking in this world doing things that are not like God, calling them God. So be very, very careful. Thank you, my sister, for coming on and shedding light. Now, you really did shine today and shared some nuggets that someone could get a hold of and understand this thing is real. So thank you so much, Apostle Crystal Crawford, for your love for God, for your testimony. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and do what he's called you to do in this life, that you will, oh my God, see all that he has promised you, because he's God. He didn't bring you this far to lead you. So we thank you for being in the body of Christ. Listen, I want to share with you on today, if this is your birthday month, I want you to know we're celebrating you. There are times when you don't have family, loved ones that will encourage you, strengthen you. We want you to know here at Just For You, we love you, and we want to celebrate your special day and occasion. Perhaps God has blessed you to be married for so many years, or you've had a new baby, or finished school, or finished the project that God has given you to do. We want you to know we love you and are supportive of your great work, that God can use you. God bless you on today. Then we understand on the other end, there are times when we go through, there are times when things happen in our lives that break us, that cause us to be broken down, have different things going on. Recently, we all seen where floods have overtaken our city in St. Louis. We want you to know here at Just For You and Elation Radio, we are praying. See, it's not enough just to pray, but also place of action, that when those that are in need are in need, and we have, as the Bible says, we are to support and we are to help. And here we want you to know we do just that. And in our ministry and organization, we are serving the people. So I want you to know God is with us in these hours, even when it looks dark and desolate. We want you to know there are times you're also going to have a need. There are various ways God uses this land to bless us and yield to the people of God, as well as to those that are not saved. If you are not saved, I want you to know I love you, but God has something greater for you. And in order to receive all of the abundance and living that he teaches us about, which is spiritually first, it's not in our houses, our cars, and our lands. Those are blessings, but those blessings shouldn't have us. We should be in a foundation of truth where his word matters and we matter in the word. Amen. So I want you to know if you are in need today, there are many that have gone through the flood. I have some information for you. I want you to call 211, which is United Way. They have assistance and support for flood victims. I understand FEMA, F-E-M-A, is assisting in the area. Please look them up online, F-E-M-A, FEMA, for assistance. There is also, I know that the Urban League St. Louis is preparing for a wonderful weekend. They, too, have been of assistance to flood victims on this weekend. They have various things that are going on. For one, they are going to do a back-to-school fair. All of this will be at 701 Convention Center downtown at the Convention Plaza. It is a weekend of events. They will have the Women's Empowerment Summer entitled Work It Girl, and their keynote speaker will be Dr. Marty K. Casey. Other speakers include Maxine Clark, Tracy Berry McGee, Yolanda Langford, and Valerie Patchen. They are also having their podcast, which is called That All In Podcast, the All In Podcast, which will air on Thursdays. And the time for that one will be, and I'm trying to see where they're having it, or they're going to be talking to you about various things regarding to COVID and help and things of that nature. They're also having a warrant recall project. This is for people that have warrants that need assistance. They will be doing this all during this Summit at 701 Convention Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri, 63101. You can find more information by calling for the warrant recall, 314-337-3683. Again, 314-337-3683. Hallelujah. This weekend will be August 6th through the 8th, I believe it is. They have August 6th here, August 6th. And for more information about Urban League's events this weekend, call them at 361-615-3600. I would like to share with you our own Elation pastors, Pastor Lo Curry Sr. and Alicia Curry. They will have Curry the Cross presents the Rise of the Kingdom Man conference. This will be on August 12th at 7 p.m. at 14550 New Halls Ferry Road, St. Louis, Missouri. And listen, you don't want to miss it. This is a group of people that we know love the Lord that are serving fervently. Their speakers will be Prophet Jermaine Green, Pastor Elijah Cole, Pastor Anthony Harrison, Without Borders Ministry, and there will also be Dr. Kanoi and the Kingdom Worshipers. If you'd like to have more information, please look it up on Facebook under Lo Curry, that's C-U-R-R-I-E, on Facebook, or Alicia, A-L-I-S-H-A, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, on Facebook. I'd like to share with you a few more announcements. As we said, another resource for diapers and for female kits. They call them flow kits. You can go to any of the St. Louis County libraries. That's the St. Louis County libraries. In times like now, especially after the flood, there are a lot of needs, and those things are available through the St. Louis County Library. Please look them up at slcl.org. On Monday nights, you can reach and see and pray with and be involved with Kingdom Wisdom Weekly with Pastors Don and Michelle Wright on Facebook. Our time is 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. it will be on Eastern Standard Time. Then on Wednesday, you can meet us back here at 5:30, Lord Says the Same, p.m. Central Standard Time on Elation Radio, and at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Just For You. On Friday, we have some new dates, some new hot off the press information. Elation Ladies Night on Clubhouse is now moving to 2 times a month. That's the 2nd and 4th Fridays. Please mark that on your calendars. We had been weekly. We are moving to the 2nd and 4th Fridays. For more information, please look at our pages, which is going to be From Ashes to Beauty on Clubhouse. Join that page and you will get all the updated information and speakers. And we thank you for joining us on Friday nights. Listen, if you'd like to have us read your community announcement, please by all means send it to me, Michelle Wright. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, on Facebook. You can message me or send it directly to my inbox. You can also email it to me at Leading Wright, that's L-E-A-D-I-N-G, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at gmail.com. We've come to the close of another podcast. We thank you for listening in. We appreciate you. And by all means, please, please check out our sister, Apostle Crystal Crawford. That's C-H. Come on. R-Y-S-T-A-L Crawford. And I'm sure you'll be able to find her information on Facebook as well as her website, as she's noted. Please know that she's doing a great work for the kingdom, and she won't come down off the wall. We're going to pray out now. We thank you again for listening. Thank you to our producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, for all that you do for Elation Radio and Magazine. May God bless you and our Elation family. We will have upcoming information for more of the upcoming events for Elation Radio. You can hear all of our podcasts on Spotify, iHeart, all of the major digital platforms, Google, YouTube. If you'd like to find us, you would go to Elation Radio, note it under that, and then you'll see the podcast. Just For You can be heard also on YouTube, and you would look up under, you can look under Just For You with Pastor Michelle Wright, or you can look under Elation Radio, and you will find us there. May God bless you. Please, if these messages and what we're doing is impacting your life, share it with someone you love, because it's important that the word of God get out. Join us in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for you doing exactly what you want it done. Have your divine will and way. Bless every listener listening in, whether it be live or by the replay. Thank you for our visionary, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Thank you for our guest today, Apostle Crystal Crawford. Lord, bless her ministry. Bless her life, her husband, and her family, God. Bless Brother Marshall as well. We thank you for this man of God that is a blessing to our sister and in the kingdom. We pray, oh God, for my husband, Pastor Donald Bright Jr., and all of the men. We are asking, God, that you keep your hand upon the men in our lives as well as in our communities, God. There are so many that are rising up in these last days, but God, let them rise with you. Let them lead with you, and let them give what is needed to those that they are assigned to. We say thank you. Bless our youth on today, God. Bless everyone that needs you, and God, provide, strengthen, encourage, and continue to allow the body of Christ to impart into the lives of the believers, that they may hear from you and know. You say, how can they hear without a preacher? Father, may those that are called to be in ministry be found doing your will and your work in these last days. We pray a special blessing, Father. We ask that you touch the flood victims. Give them strength in this hour. Give them peace in this hour. Lord, allow them to trust the process, that you see where they are and you know exactly what to do in their lives. We say thank you, God, for wrapping your arms around them, sending help, sending peace. We know oh so well what it is to lose things because of a flood or for water damage. God, we know you're faithful in the process, and help them to endure, not to get weary in well-doing, but to know that you are there. And we ask, oh God, for any unspoken request, that you have your divine will and way. We love you, we praise you, and we honor you. And we ask that you forgive us all of our sins as we forgive others. Have your divine will and way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We thank you for listening in to the Just For You podcast with Pastor Michelle Y. Wright. May God continue to be with you, lead you, and guide you. Until next time, this has been Pastor Michelle Y. Wright with the Just For You podcast on Elation Radio. God bless you on this evening. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll go on out with our song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we look like we have lost our producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Are you with us on tonight? As you know, she's demanding several podcasts at once. So we want to thank you guys for listening in, and God bless you. Until next time, this has been Pastor Michelle Y. Wright. God bless.